the Happy Afloat podcast, tales of family adventures at sea.
Hello and welcome aboard. Make yourself at home. I am Jason, skipper of Happy Afloat. Meet my motley crew. Leon.
Hello.
Conrad.
Ahoy there, shipmates.
And my lovely wife, Sarah.
Hello.
Coming up in this episode,
we fix broken stuff.
We have the first fish and chips of the summer adventure.
And we get to eat ice cream.
More tales from our summer adventure.
Last time, we had just arrived at Hartlepool in the early hours.
We managed to grab a few hours sleep before the boys woke up.
And like little angels, they crept around the boat, quietly playing Cookie Clicker on their laptops.
For those unfamiliar with Cookie Clicker, it involves clicking the mouse button a lot.
It's the electronic version of puffing bubble wrap.
Click, 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 until we could take it no more and gave up on sleeping.
A word of warning about the next audio clip. It may leave you feeling sleepy.
How do you feel after the epic voyage?
Tired. So I've had about 5 hours sleep in 48 hours.
What time did we get in?
Half one in the morning.
What do you think the Hartlepool says?
Wet and windy. At least we arrived before it got wet and windy.
Do you want to recap on the all the time on route?
Involved no wind. Motoring, just the right wind, way too much wind, unpredicted thunderstorm with a terrifying lightning, a couple of porpoises, a couple of seals, a couple of puffins,
probably way too many cakes and biscuits.
Have I missed anything?
I don't know, how do you rate arriving at locked marina? At 1:30 in the morning.
Actually, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, the lock's not so busy, is it?
No, we beat the rush. Gave the lockkeeper something to do. Apart from the fact it's tidal entrance, it was definitely quite an easy marina to get into. And certainly very easy to get into the huge berth. They're like catamaran-sized berths, aren't they? And we're parked up right by the facilities, which is a bonus.
How many hours was the trip from Harwich to Hartlepool?
That's 48. Minus 7, 41 and a half hours.
And what's on the passage plan?
I don't remember.
40 hours.
Oh, there you go.
And the only reason it's different is because...
we're going sideways at Robin Hood Bay.
What?
Because we're going sideways at Robin Hood Bay.
No.
How's that?
we couldn't get in the lock until an hour later than planned.
Because we were up here.
So we purposely slowed down for the last 30 miles, so we'd arrive here once we're not walking the lock. So we wouldn't end up floating around outside for an hour or so. We made it before the
foul weather.
The strong wind. How long do you think we're going to be stuck here?
Hopefully we might get off tomorrow night. Or Sunday, otherwise. I could think of worse places to be, but in the grand scheme of things.
You've forgotten the other drama.
What's that?
The gas alarm going up.
Oh, yeah. I've got a spare one that was up in the office here. It's arrived.
I'm sure there's another drama.
Will be if I don't go to the supermarket and get any fresh milk.
Yeah, this is just the sort of attraction to town.
Well, that's what I was just looking up to see when the rain's going to stop so I can go and get some milk.
Oh, you better do it then.
With the very windy and rainy weather, it was tempting to spend the day hibernating.
But we had broken stuff to fix.
I headed off to the marina office to collect our parcels and to inquire about getting an exchange camping gas bottle.
How were they in the marina office? Were they sort of no pleasant?
They were very pleasant.
Moan and groan at you about
No moaning and groaning about having parcels delivered at all.
Excellent. But did they have any gas?
No camping gas in stock. But they did announce that they were expecting to have some any day.
This was our first hint of the great camping gas shortage of 2021.
First item to be sorted was the gas alarm. One of the parcels contained a new sensor head. Once installed, the gas alarm started to behave.
No more random beeps in the middle of the night, frightening the adults.
Next on the list was a quick visual check of the engine.
On passage, when motoring, we like to give the engine a visual check every hour or so, if we remember.
And we hadn't been very good at remembering in the final hours of the passage to Hartlepool.
Importantly, there was no puddle of oil under the engine.
Hooray!
Coolant level was fine.
Hooray!
The alternator and water pump drive belts were in good shape.
Hooray!
The raw water pump wasn't leaking.
The primary fuel filter.
Well, there was a mayonnaise-like substance in the water separator.
No!
Happy Afloat originally had a CAV primary fuel filter with an aluminium bowl for the water trap.
I was never happy with this setup. Changing a CAV filter is a real pain when the boat is stationary. The thought of playing CAV Jenga out at sea is the stuff of nightmares.
And the water separator could not be visually inspected.
The only way to check the contents was to open the drain plug at the bottom and see what emerged.
This was a pretty inconvenient exercise due to the positioning of the filter housing.
So we had previously swapped the CAV assembly for a fake Raycor filter system. It's top loading, so changing the filter is a breeze with minimal spillages.
The water separator bowl is clear, so you know what is in the fuel.
And we had mayo.
Was this the fuel bug?
Everything I had heard or read about the fuel bug suggests that it's a dark, slimy substance. This was a slimy, light-coloured mayo.
The mayo suggested diesel and water had emulsified. But how?
Diesel and water shouldn't normally mix.
We had drained our tank lower than ever before getting to Hartlepool, so had probably started to pick up the nasty stuff at the very bottom of the tank.
But what was it?
We opened up the fuel tank inspection hatch. Not a lot of fuel in the tank, but it looked okay.
I stuck a pipe into the lowest point of the tank and siphoned out some fuel. Well, more mayonnaise. After half a litre of mayo, the fuel was clear again.
Time for some Googling.
It turned out our problem was the additive we had been using to prevent the dreaded fuel bug.
We had been using a product called FuelSet to dose the tank when we filled up. FuelSet prevents the diesel bug by removing the water from the tank, so the bug bacteria cannot grow or survive.
The water is removed by emulsification with the diesel, which is then burnt off harmlessly in the engine.
That's the theory. In practice, the mayo was clogging our filter before getting to the engine.
Fortunately, changing a fake Rakor filter is a piece of cake.
We have now stopped using FuelSet and have started to use Marine 16 instead.
We prefer the water to be caught in the separator as designed and control the diesel bug with a biocide.
Next up was the exhaust temperature alarm.
This fix involved removing the engine control panel in the cockpit.
The old plastic panel was broken in a couple of places, so we took the opportunity to swap it for a new panel that we had bought a while ago, but hadn't had the time to install.
After rewiring the new engine panel and securing the loose wiring on the temperature alarm, it looked spiffy.
Hopefully, the alarm would stop giving false readings.
We would find out if this was the case on the next passage.
Finally, it was now time for a shower.
Hartlepool facility block review time. What do we think of the facilities?
They were quite nice.
What do you like best about them?
Hang on.
Comrade, what do you think of the facilities block?
Can't remember too much, but I do remember this. The nicer the staff, the worse the facilities. According to Dad over there.
They're not too bad. They're not amazing, but they're not terrible.
They're very clean.
Yep, they're clean.
It's just not state of the art.
Because they had COVID restrictions in place. They had this traffic light.
Which was quite good because as a family, you were the only people in there at any one time. So you knew who your shower neighbours were.
Yes, exactly. So that was pretty good. And also they're located on the way in and on the way out to the marina. So you actually pass through them, which is quite convenient.
And they're extremely convenient for where we were berthed.
Well, I guess you're going to have to give us your laundry facilities review.
Yep, the laundry facilities at Hartlepool are great. So we could at least have clean clothes and dry clothes until we got to Scotland. You have to take advantage of good facilities when you find them, as you can't guarantee when you're going to come across them again. And no one wants to go too long without fresh smelling clothes.
Speak for yourself, Mum.
Any top laundry tips you want to share for this episode?
It might sound a bit dull, really, but one of the things I have discovered when you go to marinas is the amount of people that don't clean out the lint filters in a tumble dryer. And if you don't have a clean lint filter, your clothes don't get quite so dry. And when time is money, literally, because you're having to pay to use the tumble dryer, every second counts, and you might as well have a clean lint filter.
That's the point. How much did it cost?
It was £3 a wash and £3 a dry.
Is that good value?
£6 for a load. And actually, to be fair, the clothes came out dry. There's varying degrees of dry that you get, and theirs were very dry. So yeah, £6 for a load. And there were big machines. You could get quite a lot in there.
Excellent. Looking for our next weather window to go further north, we would be able to head off after a two-night stay in the marina.
Having been to Hartlepool before, there were certain things we wanted to do and revisit in our anticipated 48-hour stay.
The boys had been so excited about a pilgrimage to the local ice cream parlour.
But the weather had put that on hold, as the prospect of eating ice cream outside in the howling wind and rain was less than appealing.
We don't mind eating ice cream in the rain.
Okay, it was less than appealing for the adults.
Ice cream would have to wait until the weather cleared.
Oh!
The weather had eased off enough, however, to take the big trip across the road from the marina gates to the nearest chippy.
It's Chip Shop review time, the first of the summer adventure.
The Harbour View Chip Shop scores 10 out of 10 for convenience. It was only a stone's throw from our berth in the marina.
In fact, you went past the chippy on the way to the marina office.
New to us was the concept of a fish supper,
which turns out to be a fixed price, fixed portion of fish and chips.
No mixing and matching of portions like we're used to back home.
We ordered two large suppers, expecting them to be adequate enough to share between the four of us, as we do at home.
But on checking the quantity of food in the very fancy packaging boxes,
there was fish,
but definitely not enough chips.
We were going to starve.
I hastily went back to get an extra portion of chips, again presented in a fancy box, before retreating back to the boat to sample the culinary delights of Hartlepool.
So, what did we think of the meal?
So, we've just had our fish and chips from the...
Fish and chip shop.
What's it called?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that.
Isn't it Harbour View?
From the chippy that's just outside the door to the marina.
First of all, what did you buy?
I bought one large cod and chips, one large haddock and chips.
All right, how much did it cost?
£23.
£23, okay. So what do we think of it? Over to you, Conrad. Describe the meal that you've just had, the batter.
Do with a little less battering.
Okay, less battering. Leon, do you think of what you've eaten? What are the chips? Are they okay? Fat chips, thin chips, soggy chips, crispy chips?
Not enough chips.
Not enough chips? Well, there you go. Did you enjoy it?
A bit.
You enjoyed it a bit. Sarah, what did you think?
Well, this fish and chips came in a fancy box inside a fancy bag. It was okay. The fish and chips, actually, the fish was quite nice.
Right, so how did it taste?
I thought it tasted nice. The chips weren't amazing. They weren't horrible. They just weren't as crispy as some chippies.
You like crispy chips?
I do like crispy chips. I don't even mind a sort of like semi-crispy, but these were remarkably soggy.
Okay, marks out of 10. Leon?
Taste, 7 out of 10.
Taste, you like it then. Comrade?
Look out, yum.
Sarah?
I'll give them I'm torn between a 6 and a 7. I'll go with
the
6.
Out of 10, I'll give them a solid 3.
Yay.
Blimey.
That's high praise from Dad.
Didn't enjoy that at all.
Oh dear.
I didn't like the batter at all.
Well, I liked it. It was crispy. I liked it being crispy, but I don't tend to eat much of the batter, so.
It has to be light and fluffy and crispy. But I like the chips. The chips.
The chips
are
perfectly acceptable.
Here's what my feeling about this is. Just go to Happy Days and get enough ice cream to feed a family.
So a mixed bag of a review with 50% thumbs up and 50% thumbs down.
This would be the last time cod would be on the menu until we got back home.
The weather on day 2 was much better.
Time to put our skates on with less than 24 hours until our departure north.
With the much more pleasant weather,
we headed to Happy Days for an ice cream treat.
Boys, tell us all about Happy Days. Give us the inside scoop. Do you see what I did there? Inside scoop.
Oh, honestly. So, I personally think it's brilliant. You can have your ice creams in tubs, enormous sundae glasses, or in cones.
I think all ice cream parlors do that.
What do you like best about Happy Days, Leon?
Nice ice creams they do there.
Well, what's your favourite?
My favourite is the Ferrero Rocher one.
Is that what you had this time?
I have no idea.
You had that on the way up.
I think I have another flavour on the way down.
I can't remember, but it was a selling point to the rest of us to have one of those on the way back down.
No, he didn't have Ferrero, he had Kinder.
Yeah, I thought it was a Kinder.
Kinder Bueno.
I had Kinder Bueno on the way up, but what I had...
Well, no spoilers.
That is a story for another time.
Yeah, I mean, at the rate we're going, that story will probably be sort of, 2025.
All right then, yes. So...
What flavour did you have, Conrad?
I can't remember. I may have had Kinder Bueno. No, I had chocolate nut, I think.
I have to say, Leon's Kinder did look particularly nice.
Kinder Bueno. So technically it is Ferrero because Ferrero made Kinder.
Well, I think Mum had one on the way back.
She did.
What did you have ice cream wise, Sarah?
I didn't. I watched the rest of you.
Did you? What did I have? I think I had rum and raisin.
Probably.
You always eat rum and raisin.
Yeah, you usually opt for rum and raisin. And we both looked longingly at the one that Leon had because it did look really nice.
Have we actually described Happy Days?
Happy Days is a little ice cream parlour, isn't it? Just outside the marina.
2 doors along from the chip shop, isn't it?
And you can eat outside, eat inside.
How many different flavours do you think they have there?
Don't they have like that massive poster on the wall there?
The problem with Happy Days is there's too much choice.
That's not bad.
After you spent an hour studying the menu.
They're close.
How about you just pick the biggest one is?
Is that how you work it out? You guys go for the biggest one.
And tastiest looking.
Quantity and fingers crossed for the quality. Is that how it works? Review time. It's marks out of 10 for the Happy Days ice cream parlour. Conrad.
11.
11 out of 10. Okay. I don't think you understand the 10 out of 10. Leon, marks out of 10?
10, 10.
10, 10 out of 10. Sarah?
I will give it a 9 out of 10.
What don't you like about it?
Well, I do like it, but I can just think of some others that I would give the 10 out of 10 to.
What?
Which ice cream parlour would you rate above Happy Days?
Oh, the Pokey Hat.
The bar. Whoa, done. That's another spoiler.
You just asked me which one I would rate above it.
Well, this is all good stuff, you see. Now people are going to have to listen for another year of this to get to the Pokey Hat.
They don't know where the Pokey Hat is.
Not yet.
What about you, Jason? How do you rate the Happy Days?
Probably a 5.
Really?
What?
Dad's just trying to move it on.
Dad doesn't like ice cream.
Fueled up with sugar. There was just enough time to visit the local Asda to stock up on fresh supplies.
Luckily, it is within walking distance from the marina.
The next leg of our adventure was to be a passage to Peterhead. We contacted the harbourmaster to let him know we were on the way.
He did not have good news. Peterhead Marina was full.
We reasoned that if the weather was suitable for us to head towards Peterhead, then boats would use the same weather window to leave Peterhead.
Worst case scenario, if the marina was still full, there was an anchorage marked on the chart within the harbour just outside the marina.
We would be leaving the following morning.
Time for a crew briefing.
Right, who knows where we're going to tomorrow?
Scotland!
Celebration time!
Peterhead.
We will get to Peterhead eventually, but not tomorrow. It'll be the next day. It's 171 miles.
Is it a two-nighter, nine-tail we're doing?
It should be one-nighter. It's going to be 31 hours. We're going to leave at 7 in the morning. We're going to need to fill up the fuel. We need to fill up the tank to the brim and also the jerry can. And then we're on the way. Basically, once we've gone around the corner, the breakwater is going to be the same compass bearing, which I think is due north, for the next 30-odd hours. The forecast at the moment is northeasterlies 2 to 4, veering southeasterly later.
What's later?
That's going to be in the morning.
I'm asking boys, what is later? Bull holes, every 12 hours.
Sea state is slight to moderate, at the moment becoming smooth. So it's going to be super flat calm.
Perfect for spotting dolphins.
And the weather is going to be drizzly becoming fair, so hopefully it'll be fair by the time we leave. So we should get it Monday afternoon. So it will be super light anyway, but hopefully the harbour master will be there to help us in. And if we can't get in because the marina's too full, there's an anchorage just outside the marina within the harbour that we should be able to use as well. We'll wait for someone else to clear out. But because the weather is going to be super calm, hopefully someone there that's already there will want to move on.
Mum's been having a chat with the harbour master. He knows we're keen to go in.
Any questions?
Yes. Because you've put we're leaving at 7, are we meant to literally depart at 7? Or are you adding on the extra hour it took for us to raise the anchor or depart?
To be ready to leave at 7 or just before 7, because we need a fuel, and that will probably take half
an hour. It's going to take half an hour to fuel up.
By the time it's filled up. So maybe we'll try and leave at 6:30.
I'd say get up at 6.
Have you got any questions, Leon?
Should I do this competition?
Have you got any questions about the proposed passage?
No.
The next morning, we were up bright and early.
Really?
We were.
Some sleepyheads were not.
We headed to the fuel berth to fill up our diesel tank, our jerry can, empty cups and bowls.
A benefit of Hartlepool Marina is the fuel is cheaper than we usually pay.
We filled up with 126 litres, which now meant we could finally calculate how much fuel we had arrived at Hartlepool with.
Our fuel tank holds 150 litres.
So we had arrived with 24 litres left in the tank.
Not as bad as we had first feared during the trip to Hartlepool. We still had 16% left. But for us, it was a bit too close for comfort. especially as the fuel gauge reads empty when it's got 20 litres in the tank.
You've been very specific with your percentage calculations there.
Yeah, because it looks lower than 24.
Okay.
Because we were bigging it up for a whole episode.
Well, we were quite scared.
Yeah, we were.
We settled our accounts with the marina and warned them that we would probably be stopping on our way back from the north.
We locked out and headed back into the North Sea.
Leg 4 was now underway.
Hooray!
The sky was grey and overcast, but our spirits were instantly lifted because...
A few minutes into the trip, we were joined by dolphins to see us off.
After rounding the breakwater, we pointed the bows due north.
Unfortunately, the wind was still blowing from the north.
It was going to be another passage where we would be motoring more than we could sail.
Would the next stop be Scotland?
If we did make it to Scotland, would there be room at Peterhead for us? And, more importantly, would they have camping gas?
But that is a story for another day. Okay. Any other thoughts about our time at Hartlepool?
I would say the marine staff are brilliant. They're always very polite, very helpful. And the lock keeper, obviously, I think we mentioned, was very kind to us when we arrived in the wee hours of the morning.
Yep, he was very good.
Yeah, and all the times when we did pop up to the office to ask them for things, nothing is too much of a problem for them.
On top of that, it half breaks Dad's new rule about marinas. Apparently, the better the facilities, the worse the staff. Proven wrong.
Has it broken my theory? So the staff were super nice and the facilities were okay-ish?
We need to give an in-depth review of Asda. Or at least mention the Asda. We've only mentioned it once so far.
Yeah, so if you've been to an Asda, you've been to every Asda in the country because they're exactly the same. You have raised a vaguely irrelevant point that near the marina is a
retail park type thing.
Yeah, there's retail park nearby, which has got your Asda, your
Argos.
What else is there? There's a Dunelm there as well.
Yes, there is a Dunelm.
And what have they got for eateries? Didn't
there's
they have
Mackey D's? There's a Nando's.
Yeah, is there a KFC? I'm sure there must
probably
be somewhere around there. So yeah, you've got all that sort of fairly nearby as well. Yeah, walking distance. Also nearby are a couple of attractions. So we didn't go this time because with the whole COVID pandemic, because obviously we're going on a trip on a boat. We don't suddenly want to catch COVID in the middle of a summer adventure. So we were being a bit cautious and not going to lots of attractions, which we knew would be crowded. But nearby, and we've been there before, is...
The Museum of Hartlepool, isn't it?
Yes. It's in the same building as the Museum of the Royal Navy. Basically, go through the same entrance. You turn left, you pay to go into the Royal Navy.
We haven't been in there.
We haven't. And if you turn right, you get into the Free Museum of Hartlepool.
Which, when we went before, it was really interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well,
yes.
The history of the docks and that. It's...
Yeah, and in the Royal Navy Museum next door, they've got the, it's the oldest warship afloat in Europe, launched in 1817.
We haven't been on the ship there, have we? So it would be quite good to have a look next time we go. Hopefully COVID won't be so prevalent and we can actually do some of these things.
Yeah, so there's plenty to do there. Anything else about Hartlepool? Oh, how much did it cost?
We paid £33.96, to be precise. So that's quite good.
Is it?
Well, it's more than I would choose to pay, but it's better than a lot of marinas because they were about £38 a night.
Oh, right, okay.
So that is quite good.
I think they didn't charge us for the first night when we arrived at 1 a.m.
No.
That was a freebie.
Yeah.
Okay. Fake Raycor systems. Where do you buy them? I thought we'd have a quick talk through the fuel system as we did make a few changes. I don't think we've mentioned it. Instead of doing a whole episode on fuel, we might as well mention it here quickly.
Is it Chinese?
Of course it is.
So we've now got a German boat, which is largely Chinese.
So we got our Raycor system, which I think is the 500 version, off of Amazon. But they sell exactly the same model on eBay, and Parts for Engine also sells what seems to be exactly the same copy. We have bought the filters from Parts for Engines as well. So yeah, you can get them anywhere, and they all, by all accounts, lots of people are putting them in, and they all seem to work absolutely fine. but they're basically a tenth of the price of an original one. So yeah, I definitely recommend that, especially if you have got a ridiculous cav filter assembly. Could have replaced the aluminium bowl with a glass bowl, but then you still got the whole Jenga situation, which you decided to knock on the head. The other changes you made to the fuel system is we also put in a inline fuel filter to grab any sort of big chunks of tarry diesel bug, because there'd been several reports that on our particular fuel system where it's got the stopcock that it can jam quite easily if there's a big lump coming through. So we've got a sort of very coarse inline filter to catch all the big stuff. And then after that, we'd installed a priming bulb so it could easily prime the system instead of trying to use the little lever on the engine's fuel pump, which they tend to break after a while anyway and don't pump anymore. The only problem with the inline bulbs for priming, the priming bulbs, as we found out, is you have to make sure that you buy one that is suitable for diesel.
You were asked in various places.
Yeah, various chandlers.
That was when we got to Inverness, wasn't it? You were asking about that.
I think the priming bulb that we put in, I think that the one-way valve on it is broken. Now, it was labelled up as suitable for diesel, but then it was off of Amazon. It would well be a load of old nonsense.
Have you replaced?
We've bought a new bulb. I haven't replaced it yet. Mm. And it'll probably be when we change the filters next, when we know I need to take the fuel lines down and reprime it. I'll probably put one in.
Okay.
I think that's all we've done. And the advantage of changing it to the Raycor system is we can actually drain out the filter before. You can actually get a bowl under the cav filter to drain it out. So it all had to go into your bilge, and then you had a massive sort of clear-up operation.
It's much easier, isn't it? And it's easier to see it as well.
But yeah, so that's all good. So I definitely recommend people replace those if they're not very happy with their cav system.
Thank you for sticking us in your ears.
We love feedback.
A big thank you to everyone who has posted a review or sent us a message.
Thank you!
But we are hungry for more, and we have a question for you.
Is the pace of our summer adventure story too slow?
Just right.
Or too fast?
Let us know. At our current speed and release rate, this summer adventure is going to take over a year to tell.
Send some feedback.
Send an email or a posting on Facebook. All relevant links are on the website happyafloat.com.
If you'd like to help us grow, spread the word. As my nanny says, it's nice to share.
And if you know someone who would enjoy the podcast, direct them to our website, happyafloat.com.
From our website, they can listen to the podcast. Sharing is caring.
And don't forget to follow and review and rate us in your favourite podcast app.
A review on Apple Podcasts would be most welcome.
Happy Afloat. Happy Afloat. Happyafloat.com.
Next time aboard Happy Afloat.
Will we make it to Scotland? And will there be any room for us?
Until next time, happy sailing.